Well, let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes is in the Old Testament. It is, I believe, right before the book of Isaiah. And it is after Proverbs. So I just want to share with you a few things before we get into tonight's message. The first thing is that I am still praying and working to get to the book of Esther. There's been a lot going on, and I love to dive in a book and at least have a good, I've never taught Esther before. I've read it, but to have a good working knowledge before I start teaching a book. And with a lot of different things that have been going on, you know, getting into a bigger book like that requires a certain amount of time. And so as I'm preparing and taking some time, I've also been devotionally getting ministered to. And this is what I've been bringing out, just things that the Lord's been ministering to me in a devotional way. So I want to just share with you before we get started that Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is a very difficult chapter. Actually, the whole book is quite difficult. And I'm not approaching it in my traditional style, which is expositional. That's not the approach. This is a topical, devotional, and I hope it's inspirational. My hope and my aim, prayerful aim, is that you would leave here with some concrete things to help you, and that you would leave here blessed. So if you leave here tonight with some helpful tools and you feel blessed, praise Jesus. And if you don't leave here with tools and blessed, praise Jesus. Because he's always worthy of praise. And so with that, let's pray, and then we'll get into just reading through verses 1 through 14, and then I'm going to share a message that I've titled, Trust God in Every Season. Trust God in Every Season. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and for your word. We thank you for how we can look at this, even though it might not be expositional, we could look at it devotionally and it will be biblical, of course. And we thank you for your word. And we pray, God, that you would inspire us, minister to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that these things tonight that we go through and that we hear, we would pay such attention that they would have a way of not only being heard, but getting stuck, getting planted in our own hearts. And that tomorrow we would be able to share these things with somebody who needs to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labors. It is a gift of God. I know that whether God does, or rather whatever God does, it shall be forever, and nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it, that men should fear before him. All of us are in a season. Every single one of us. The question is what season are you in? Are you in a delightful season? Are you in a dark season? Are you in a developing season? Are you in a discouraging season? All of us are in a season. What season are you in? And it would be wonderful if we were always in delightful seasons. But the reality of it is that many seasons are not so delightful. And what do? When you are in a season that doesn't make sense, you're wondering, why am I in this season? How much longer, Lord? Have you forgotten about me? What do you do when you are in a dark season, in a discouraging season? Well, there's four things that we ought to do when we are in seasons that we're wondering why. The first of the four things are, number one, when you're in a season when you're not sure what to do and it doesn't make sense, receive it. Receive it. I know that might sound like, what? But we'll talk about that some more. Receive it. The second thing is rejoice in it. What? That seems counterintuitive. That doesn't make sense. I'm not happy in this season of life. And you're saying rejoice in it? Number three, revere him through it. God puts us, as we'll see, in seasons. Seasons aren't random. Seasons aren't accidents. Seasons are assignments. And one of the things that's so important to do in those difficult seasons is to reverence him through it. And if you reverence him through it, if you are able to rejoice in it, and you receive it, you will actually be able to do the fourth thing. You'll be able to rest. You'll be able to rest. Now, these are realities. That is, if we do these things, even if they don't make sense to us, we will experience a whole different experience in the difficult season. But if we don't do these things, we find ourselves, instead of receiving it, we resist. Why? I don't like this. I don't want this. Why? Why is this? Instead of rejoicing, we complain, we can get bitter, we can get sour. I don't know about you, but do you like to hang out with bitter, complaining, sour people? Especially Christians. When I see bitter, sour, complaining Christians, I get it. Sometimes, you know, we're not perfect. But if it becomes chronic, I don't think that that's God's will or healthy. And instead of revering God, we could be questioning God and angry with God. And instead of rest, we're all full of stress. So, which scenario seems more appealing to you? And you do have a choice in the season you're in of how you are going to manage it. And so, the first thing to do is to receive it. But why? Why would I receive it? Why would I embrace it? Why would I say, well, I'm going to welcome this. I'm not going to resist it. Because of what Solomon says in verse 1, he tells us, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Okay, what purpose are we talking about? The word purpose means intent. Whose intent? It's God's. God has intended that there would be seasons and there would be purposes and intent in the seasons that we are in. That doesn't mean that it's going to always make sense to me. Nevertheless, it's an assignment of God, because it's God's intent that I would go through seasons. We see it practically humanly speaking, he lays it all out, these massive contrasts. For example, a time to be born and a time to die. What a contrast. And yet, God has purpose in beginnings and in endings. And things begin. How many things have begun and you were so excited? And then something came to an end and there was a change. And this was not a good thing. And yet, just like birth and death, these things are realities that we live with, and everything that comes in between those two. And God has a purpose in it all. So I, with that understanding, should receive it knowing that God has a purpose in it, even though I don't always understand it, neither do I always enjoy it, and neither does it always feel good. Actually, some of the purposes of God hurt. But let me tell you, God never hurts us for no reason. Some of the greatest growth comes out of great pain. And we live within a world under heaven. And if heaven is mentioned, well, that's where God dwells. And if it's under heaven, then this is God's creation and this is God's domain. Even though we live here, my point is that everything is under the sovereign hand of God. And he's ordained very specific things, and they don't always feel good. And that's the reality of life that I should embrace and not fight against, because there's good that God is working in it, if I embrace it. How many of you have embraced something challenging? It was so difficult. And at first you looked at it so bad. And you thought, this is horrible. And then the Spirit of God began to work in you. Began to work in you. Began to soften your heart. And you didn't fight. You didn't resist. And you said, God, if this is your will, then I surrender to your will. And I embrace it. And then peace and joy. And things don't change, but you change. You become more Christ-like. Has that ever happened to you? Well, that's so good to hear. Because I was getting worried there. And there's so many. A time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. You know, these things talk about beginnings, and if you would, a lot of this is poetic language, but yet these things are true. Beginnings and endings. You know, things start and things come to an end. How many of you remember when you started your career? How many years ago now some of you look back and you think, I ended my career? How many of you look back and you say, I started my family. And now you look back and you say, they finished me. I'm just joking, of course. But that season has come to an end. And for some of us, it was very painful. Man, when that first baby moved out of the house, oof. And then when everyone moved out of the house, oof. But then you get used to it. But it's painful for a season. There's so many other things here, a time to kill, not that God is calling us to kill, but this is a part of the human, fallen human experience. There are some times where, not murder, but things come to an end through death. There's a time to heal. There's a time to break down. There's a time to build up. Then he talks on from moving from beginnings and endings and starting things, and then things again come to a completion and there's another season. And now he talks about the emotional impact. Because life can be very emotional. And the thing is, you know, these things, they happen and they've been happening and they keep happening. Why? Because God has assigned it. So every generation goes through these things. They just keep happening. And there are things we don't know why, we don't know when. It's like Rochester weather. When is spring actually gonna come? And it just doesn't come. And you look out there, I better stop. This is so depressing. It's like, I'm ready to jump off the cliff. I look out there, oh, God.
We don't have spring in Rochester. We have sprinter.
Yes. Yeah. Do you remember a few Sundays ago, it was sunny and warm, and then by the evening, it got dark and gloomy, and then it snowed? And it didn't just snow. It was like, you know, hard, like little pellets. Yeah. And I was driving on the 531 and at 40 miles an hour, and cars are going off the road. I digress, but let's get back. But there are things that happen and you can't really predict it. You don't know when it's going to happen. And it leaves you weeping. And then there are other things that on the other side of it, you're laughing. Or, as it says here, a time to mourn and a time to die. A time to refrain, a time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing. These all impact you emotionally. But we, understanding that life has its complexities and there could be very vast and sometimes, oftentimes they're unpredictable and we can't always make sense of these things. Understanding that this is the way God has ordained it or has assigned it, it's so important for us to receive it. To receive it by the hand of God. The alternative, resisting it, all it does is hurt me. It makes me bitter, gets me angry, it makes me sour, it makes me difficult. And I can't afford to be a Christian and live like that. I want to embrace it so I can, even though I may not understand it, I can grow from it. And that's why we embrace it. Knowing, God, you assigned this to me. I have an assignment. You're trusting me with this. You must want to work something good out. I don't see it. I can't understand it. But I know you're in it. The second thing, we'll move forward, is the importance of rejoicing in it. Now we'll get to that, but look what he says in verse 9. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? And that's sometimes how it is, you know. We work, and sometimes we wonder, you know, what is this all for? What am I doing this for? I feel like I'm not going anywhere. Life can be that way. We have our things that we do, and life can just become and feel so mundane, and we feel like, why? What's the point? In verse 10, he says, I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. And that's one of the most important things to understand, is that it's God-given. And if I know it comes from a good God, even though I don't understand it, that helps me to rejoice. That helps me. It's like, all right, God, you're entrusting this to me. I can find joy in the fact that you're allowing this for my good and for your glory. It's a God-given task. It's an assignment, if you would. And then this is the things that we focus on when we don't know. It's always good to not focus on what we don't know, but focus on what we do know. And one of the things we do know is God has made everything beautiful in its time. God is making everything beautiful. Every season, there's always beauty that comes out of every single season if we embrace it and we rejoice in it. I mean, think of the season that Job was in. Job said, naked I came into the world and naked I'll go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look at the season Paul was in prison. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And the psalmist tells us that every day of our life is recorded in his book, Psalm 139. So if every day is recorded and I'm in Christ, there's a purpose in every single day and in every single season. And if Christ is with me, if God is going to make this beautiful, and I may not see it here, I do have a reason to rejoice because he makes all things beautiful. Amen. And ultimately, what he is doing is he, in this season, is conforming me, conforming you into the image of his Son. And ultimately, one day, we are going to be transformed. And we're going to be clothed. And we're going to be not Jesus, but we will be like our Savior in so many ways. We are being changed to be like him. And you know, he's perfect. He's sinless. He's the Son of God. And we one day, we are sons, but we don't always feel it. How many of you today, you wondered maybe today, I don't know if I'm even a Christian. How about last week, or the enemy is there condemning, you're not a Christian. Look what you thought. Look what you did. But one day, that's never going to be, because he's making all things beautiful. We are the sons of God, and one day it's going to be revealed. And one day we're going to be perfected. And one day we will never sin no more. Why? Because he makes all things beautiful in his time. And he's even going to redeem this whole world. And those of us who are his, we're going to experience such a beautiful experience. No more sorrow. No more pain. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I'm excited. See, how can you not rejoice? When you see things God's way, how can you not rejoice and have confidence, not in yourself, but in God? Because he's working all things out for good. And in that, we can rejoice. He also has put eternity in their hearts. And the sons of men, there's something inside of us that we know there's got to be more than this. I remember when I was 17, 18, wrestling with that. There's got to be more to life than this. If this is what life is all about, then I don't know if I want to continue. I wouldn't do any harm to myself. It's just that sense of just, I'm happy. I'm miserable. There's got to be more. And there is. There is eternity. There is God. And when God becomes the main focus of our life, everything seems to fall in place, even though we don't understand everything. There's more to life than just this. This is not how it's always going to be. He's put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work of that God does from beginning to end. There's, in a sense, mysteries in the seasons. We can't figure it all out. But one day we're going to know, even as we are known. And so he says, verse 12, I know that nothing is better than for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labors. It is the gift of God. And what that tells us is we receive it because it's an assignment of God. We rejoice in it, and what that tells us is we make the best of it because it's an assignment of God. I'm going to make the best of this season. I'm not going to make it the worst. I'm going to make it the best, and I'm going to enjoy this journey with Jesus regardless. Because ultimately, it's a personal relationship with Him. He's all that matters. And there comes responsibilities with that, but ultimately, it's all our whole existence is about Jesus. And so we make the best of it. We rejoice in it. And then verse 14 says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. In other words, God is the one in control. There's things that are established by God, assigned by God, and I can cry, scream, kick, fight. And it ain't going to change. If this is where God has me, there's a reason. And He's sovereign. Nothing can be added to it. And nothing can be taken away from it. What God has ordained, He's going to sustain. And we can go down. Who went down? Lord, if it's You, bid me to come. Come. Let me get out of this boat. All the other guys, He's walking on water. It's amazing. And He's looking to Jesus. I'm walking on water. This is amazing. And He takes His eyes off Jesus. He looks at the season, at the storm, and He sinks. But He did the right thing. He had a short prayer. Lord, help! You don't need long prayers to get delivered. They just have to come from the heart. So God's in control, and if we take our eyes off of that fact, and we try to add or take away or try to change what God has ordained, we're just going to hurt ourselves. And God does this. so that we, and this is the third thing, revere him in the season. As it says, God does it that men should fear before him. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's not talking about terror. He's talking about reverence, respect. I ask you, how many of you really respect God? I mean, sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I come into his house and I think like it's my house. And I'll do things in his house like I would do in my living room. And I got to remind myself, and a lot of times the Holy Spirit does that and says, Dave, you're too comfortable. You're not reverencing me. This is not yours. This is not your office. This is not your, I mean, I use it, but this is not yours. And you come in here so casual and you do certain things like this is my house. Do you revere me? Do you respect me? And sometimes it's those tough seasons that give us a greater glimpse of his sovereignty and that he's in control and I'm not. And he deserves my respect. Do you respect God? Don't answer out loud. Well, God works through seasons to bring us so we really learn how to reverence him and respect him and respect the things that belong to him. And so when we reverence him, when we reverence him, then it makes it so much easier to rejoice in the season and to receive it as an assignment from him. And in that, we can rest. So, what season are you in? The most important thing for you to do in the season is trust God. Trust God. How do you trust him? Receive it. Don't fight against it. Rejoice in it. Make the best of it. Grow from it. Seek to be transformed by it. Learn to respect him more, to reverence him, to fear him. Because in all of that is where you will find your rest. Let's all stand. Father, we thank you for your word and for the joy and the peace that we have because of it. Lord, if it wasn't for you and for your word, I would be insane. But I thank you, God, that you are my sanity in this season of life. And I wish I could say that every season was just a delight and a joy, but God, your word reveals that that's not the case. But I'm so thankful, God, that you're always with us in every season and we can trust you. We thank you that ultimately, while we are living, waiting for your glorious appearing, you are our hope. And so, God, we want all of our seasons to count for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.